It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Carter Rigby is an assistant coach with the Prince George Cougars, and welcome to the program. Welcome back to PG, Carter.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you actually had a cup of coffee as a player with the Cougars 10, 12 years ago. Very, very short stint. Sort of take us, before we look at your coaching credentials, sort of take us back to how you came to Prince George and quickly went to Kelowna.
Yeah, so I was drafted in the 8th round in the Bantam draft to the Cougars. I was fortunate enough to actually play 11 games my 15-year-old season once my midget year was done. So I was up here as a 15-year-old for a bit at the tail end of the season, and really enjoyed my experience and got to kind of get my feet wet and see what it was like at this level. And came back at 16, was here for a month or so, and things just didn't work out for myself, and was looking for a change, and wanted to switch things up. So I ended up leaving, going back, playing a little bit of Junior B and Junior A back home in Penticton and Asuyas. And that following the summer, my 17-year-old summer, PG dealt my rights to Kelowna. So I was, fortunate enough to get back to the Western League and, get a second chance too. So it was a quick stint for sure, and lots of ups and downs, obviously, when you're 15 and 16, and just excited to come back with a fresh start and make the most of this experience, and happy to be here.
Well, usually if a team has plans for a player and they're 15 and 16, they want to give them a little bit more of an opportunity maybe than you had. What sort of happened there?
On and off ice stuff. There was, a few things that, I wasn't personally happy with how things were. Nothing really major, but just it wasn't a fit for me at that time in my life. It, was a little bit away from home and maybe a little bit of homesickness and a few other things, but I don't want to really go too deep into it, but it wasn't a good fit kind of at that point in my life. And I wasn't having a ton of fun on and off the ice at that point, and was really grateful to get back and get my confidence back in my game and, try a different route and a different team, and ended up working out and, playing in the league for a long time. So there was many things, but at the same time, I'm not looking too far back into, what was, and just looking forward to, the future here and, what I can do as a coach to help these guys out.
So you had more than 200 WHL games. You averaged about a half a point or a little more per game, and you actually scored, I think, more goals than you had assists. So it was a pretty productive career for yourself.
Yeah, I felt like I did all right for myself. It missed quite a bit of hockey due to double shoulder surgery my 19-year-old season in Kelowna, but looking back at things, got a chance to play for three great clubs in the Western League, got to experience, Saskatchewan, got to experience playing close to home, a little bit up here north. And missed a little bit to injury, almost a full season in a sense in regards to months wise. But I always thought I was more of a power forward with an offensive touch. And as anybody likes to put the puck in the net, I definitely did that at times. And I was really happy with the career that made it and started here in PG.
Now, you ended off in Swift Current. Sort of tell us a little bit about that, and then where you went to play after your WHL days were done.
Yeah, so ended up playing. I was in Kelowna. Ended up actually playing Swift Current on a Tuesday night at home, and had a couple goals and assist, and that Thursday I was traded out to Swift Current. So it was a little bit different going from a big market team in Kelowna, and we were very, very good pushing for it. Obviously that winter they won it, the WHL championship, but went out to Swift Current, which was a lot different. It's obviously a small market team, but at the same time, great fan base. We had a pretty potent team up there with Colby Cave and Coda Gordon, Jake DeBrusk, Dylan Hetherington, a couple big names for sure, and a lot of guys that moved on to play pro hockey. I ended up loving my experience there, going to play for Mark and Josh. And it's funny how, I'm back here coaching with them now, but it was a good experience. It was, you know, life in Saskatchewan. Your off days weren't kind of spent bowling and hanging out. You were on the farm and shooting guns and, you know, trying a lot of new things that, you know, kid from Penticton didn't normally get to do. So, you know, looking back at it, very grateful for the experience in Swift Current for sure. And, you know, in doing that, ended up getting two NHL camps out of it in Minnesota. So it was a great place to go play and play lots. And Mark gave me every opportunity to play and develop. And like I said, I don't think if I went to Swift Current, I don't think those NHL camps would have been there. So after that season, after we got swept in playoffs by Regina in the first round, I ended up getting a chance to go down to the East Coast Hockey League in Stockton, California. Ended up playing four games there until their season was over. And enjoyed it. But like I said, I ended up going to a couple of NHL camps and then thought I was going to use my schooling and went out to University of Prince Edward Island. Spent a month or two out there and figured school wasn't fully in my cards just yet and ended up coming home. So little stint at UPEI and then actually ended up getting into senior hockey out in Bentley, Alberta. And we ended up winning the Allan Cup that year. So That was the last little bit of hockey as a player for me, for sure. Ended up winning an Allan Cup, and that was that, and hung him up and got into coaching that following winter.
Right, so you're 28 now, and how long have you been coaching?
I started coaching right away. So at 20, I want to say 22, that following winter after the Allan Cup, I got into coaching right away as an assistant coach in the Cootie International Junior Hockey League in Summerland. I coached there for 3 years, and then ended up taking over, BC hockey program, a zone program, they called it, based out of Penticton, the South Zone team. And then that half of that season, I got the job in the CS as a head coach. So, 6-7 years now at, the junior B level and, you know, just excited to get the opportunity to come to, you know, the Western League and, you know, learn lots and help these guys out.
All right. So you got hired the month of September by the PG Cougars of this year, and that is usually fairly late. Usually coaches, you know, have their situation settled June, July, maybe August, but September's a little late. So you're coaching again. You're all prepared for Soyuz Junior B. How did things happen so late that you've now arrived in Prince George?
Yeah, I don't know the full story in behind everything. One of those ones that I'm just glad to be here. I haven't asked too many questions and why or, you know, why late. I'm just happy to be here. But, yeah, no, it was definitely, you know, real quick turnaround. I'm kind of getting set up for my year in a series with their group. And, you know, Mark called me out of the blue on a Tuesday morning and asked if I'd be interested in the job. And, you know, I've said for a while, this has been my goal to get to this level. I didn't think it would happen this quick. But a situation at 28 years old, I don't think these phone calls come too often. So, did my research quick with some phone calls around the league and some guys I trust and, you know, found out right away that, you know, things up here have been really good and players and staff get treated well. And, just a young core that's, you know, on the rise. You're not walking into a full rebuild, and you know, we should win more games than lose this year and take a step in the right direction too. So it was quick turnaround to get up here as kind of camp's over. I didn't really get to experience camp at all. I had to stay back in the CS and coach a few last exhibition games before I came up, but whether it's September, October, November, December, whenever it is, if that phone call came, I was coming. So just happy to be here. Doesn't matter what time I get here or when I got here, I'm just excited to be here.
So perhaps if you did not get traded from Kelowna to Swift Current and build up that relationship with Mark and Josh, maybe, you know, you wouldn't be in Prince George right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of funny how things all, you know, come full circle and fall into place. And I'm a very strong believer in, you know, this game is, you know, a lot of relationships and connections. And as a player and a coach, I've spent a lot of time in, you know, networking and using the people around me for resources and just to try to get to know as many people as you can. And I think you're bang on. I think if I didn't play in Swift Current, you know, I wouldn't get this opportunity for sure. I'd almost bet 100% on it that I wouldn't get this opportunity. So, it's also nice to come back to familiar faces and, you know, Mark and Josh kind of know what to expect out of me as a person. And it's interesting as a coach now with them, I know what to expect from them too. It's, you know, not much has changed. Lammer's still Lammer. It's funny that way. A lot of the same drills and stuff, but I guess if it works. So, you know, it's nice to come back with familiar faces and make that transition to the Western League a lot easier, I think, than if I would have went to a different team, a team I'd never been a part of or a rink or something like that. So, it is nice that I've been here as a player a little bit. I've played for both those two, and now I'll be able to coach. I think, like I said, the transition's been pretty smooth, and you know, just looking to soak it all in.
Now, Mark never seems to change. Sometimes can't tell if he's won or lost. Now, sometimes after a real bad loss, you can tell. But for the most part, he's very even keel, and he's naturally that way. Was he that way when you played for him? Has he changed at all? And what kind of a personality are you? Are you more that way? Are you more, you know, excited when things are going well? Or how do you sort of look at all this?
Yeah, I think Mark's, he's pretty similar to, you know, 8 years ago when I was playing for him. I think he was a little bit more on the old school end and the tougher end when I played for him. But I think that's just with the way the game's changed. But I think Mark's done a good job at changing with the times. I think he's great with the young guys here that he has. He's very respectable. I think all the guys in this room for sure look up to him. And, you know, it's tough to challenge a coach that's won a Stanley Cup and been a part of it. You know, I'm a firm believer in having played and getting experience. It's nice as a player to lean on somebody as a coach, you know, that's been there and been through everything too. So, no, Mark's even keel, like you said. I think he's done a great job with these guys. It's nice that he is a little bit of a mix of old school, but also understands, you know, kids these days. He's got a son that's, you know, around a lot of these guys' ages too, or has been through it. So, you know, I think he gets it for sure. And in regards to myself, I'm honestly almost the same way. I'm pretty light, you know, normally very light. I like to be chipper and get in here early and joke around with the staff and the guys and make sure all the guys are feeling good, but at the same time, when it's time to work, we work. It's you know, just having played in this level for a long time, you understand that, you know, there's times to pick your spots, to be kind of the class clown, and there's times to buckle down. And I just want to come in here and be that out for the guys. You know, at times it's a little tough if you're a young guy to talk to your head coach or GM about stuff, you know, and open up about, you know, personal stuff too. It's not even, you know, we're dealing with kids here that, you know, we're going through lots in their hockey careers, but, you know, we're dealing with a lot of off-ice stuff too, with families or relationships and agents. And there's a lot more to coaching than just X and O's, I think. And being a younger guy, I think they'll gravitate to me a little bit easier maybe than Mark or Josh, just, and it's strictly just on age. Not that they don't want to talk to those two, but, you know, at 28, like I said, you know, only 8 years difference in some of these guys. And just having been through a lot of the same experiences they're going through, I've ridden this bus for 6 hours your closest game. I've, you know, had double shoulder surgery, been out for a long time with injuries. You know, I've been a part of programs and teams where we've won and, you know, won lots too. And I've been on the other end of it where we've lost lots. So just to be here for these guys and being out and know that, you know, anything that I'm telling them, you know, I've been through it myself. So I always found as a player, if you had a coach like that, it was a lot easier to relate to and be that out. And again, for any role that Mark gives me, I'm just grateful to be here and, you know, look to, you know, help any player, anybody, you know, the community, the staff, anybody, whatever I can do to help out, I want to be a part for sure. So, yeah, looking forward to, obviously it's been a couple weeks now and, you know, get some more games under my belt and learn as much as I can.
So, Carter, if it's a bad game or things aren't going well, you're not the type they'll throw a tablet or two?
No, I don't think that's in my budget to be breaking tablets for sure. But, no, you got to be even and keel. A lot of these guys, I think if you start snapping like you do back in the day, then a lot of guys think that's okay. And at the end of the day, it's, you're not going to win them all. And, you know, it's just learning from your mistakes. And the way I coach is, you know, I demand a lot when we're playing, but after the game, hey, let's learn, let's regroup and move on. And tomorrow's a new day. There's, you know, a reason why we play 68 games a year. And, like I said, you're not going to win them all. So if you can quickly kind of flip that switch and, you know, move on to the next game and regroup, I'm all about moving on and turning the page.
Now, is it a 1-year contract, 2-year deal? And explain the role that Mark has outlined for you.
Yeah, it's a 3-year deal actually, so I was happy to get that. But yeah, I'm an assistant coach. Obviously, Josh is here, is his number one guy in associate coach role, and my job is to just to be here for the guys. He wants me in that room. He wants me to get to know the players personally, and obviously as players, and be that out for them. Handling a little bit of the other stuff in regards to travel and food and some of that. So that'll be interesting to get to do that. And that's a lot of work, obviously, with how much we're on the road too. But there hasn't been a full, this is you on the bench. He wants me to do some corrections and coach and, help where I can. But ultimately, Mark's running the forwards. Josh is running the D. And, I'm helping wherever I can. So, again, I don't think there's a full underlining, hey, this is your job, or this is the only thing I want you to do. I think he wants me to do a little bit of everything and, just be there in whatever role and support them, whenever I can.
Now, I imagine he would encourage you to speak up as well. So what I mean by that is, in the beginning, do you do more observing? Or let's just say, for example, Josh is teaching something or Mark is teaching something, and you're sort of thinking, well, I've got a different idea or a different approach to that. Would you feel comfortable bringing this up right away, or do you feel you have to be a little bit more established? How do you look at that?
A couple of ways can go with that. I think the biggest thing in coaching is making sure everyone's on the same page. So, if Mark or Josh are, explaining something, I don't think it's in my best interest to chime in and tell them what I think about it. I'd rather wait until getting to the coach's office to, ask questions, say, hey, what do you think about this? That way I don't want, the guys hearing a message from Mark, hearing a message from Josh, and then I throw something in that's, completely different. Ultimately, there's a pecking order, and, Mark's the GM and head coach for a reason, and that's why he gets paid the big bucks. And I'm just here to learn what I can from those two. But at the same time, I think Mark's going to give me some range to, to talk to these guys and be open to what I think, needs to be done or what players need to do. And, it's nice already. He's given me a little bit of the reins to do some drills and make some adjustments during games. And, I don't think he's the type of man that's going to just, be there to help him. I think he wants to help me get to that next level as well. And, whatever I can do to learn from those two, obviously been doing it quite a while. So, I do feel comfortable for sure talking in a group setting and, being coached now for 6 years, whether it's junior B, junior A, or the Western League, it's all, these kids are 16 to 20. So, other than the on-ice play, not much changes. You're still dealing with, those adolescents and those teens and, adults too. So it's, a situation where, I'm comfortable for sure talking, and I'm glad Mark will give me the reins to let me do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Other than skill and ability, which is obvious between Junior B and WHL, what similarities, what differences do you notice? Because I would imagine the WHL player is thinking pro and as high as they can go. The Junior B player is thinking, they've got to think about life after hockey and all of those kinds of things. So talk about the mindset that you see different after coaching Junior B, now getting into, WHL Major Junior.
Yeah, it's, there's honestly a lot of similarities, and there obviously is their differences too. At the Junior B level, a lot of those kids are looking to go college, hopefully. So a lot of them, you're pushing them towards Division III scholarships, which is still very good hockey. And then ACHA Division I, there's some leagues in BC and in Canada as well. So it's, it's a little bit of, you got the kids that are looking to, get into school to move on with life. You got kids that are looking to go Div 3 and, maybe still end up playing overseas, which is very, capable chance of that happening for sure. So, obviously at the Western League level, a lot of these kids, your ultimate goal, like every kid, is to make the NHL and to play pro hockey. The mindsets are definitely a little bit different, in regards to, it's a little bit different going to an NHL camp than it is to cracking a Div 3 roster at NCAA, but, both different routes for sure. And, there's kids in Junior B that have made the NHL. I mean, you look at some of the alumni of the KI with Shea Weber and, You can go down the list with 10 or 12 pretty decent names that have moved on. So, you know, there is still a chance of making it out of that level for sure. But at the West League level, yeah, it's a lot different. These kids are coming to, you know, to play hockey. They're here prepared. A lot of the kids are a little bit younger. You know, at Junior B, I found, you know, there's a lot of 18 to 20-year-olds who are here. There's, you know, a lot of 17, 18-year-olds. But, yeah, the off-ice, the mindsets are still the same. There's still 16 to 20-year-old kids going through stuff, school, girlfriends, relationships. You know, so it is similar for sure, but same time, it is completely different too.
You got a little bit of taste of what may be in store for this season's PG Cougars team, in that you saw the team, you know, at peak efficiency on opening night, easily winning 5-1, and then sort of the opposite. Even though the shots were the same, Friday, Saturday, you had 41 shots each game, but then you lose 8-3 to the same team, a team that did not make the playoffs last year and probably is not considered a strong contender this season. What did you notice in the difference in the first two? I know when we talked with Mark after the game on Saturday, he thought that the players thought it was just going to be a little bit too easy. They didn't take it serious enough and all those things. Now you've had a little bit of time to reflect. Somebody that would have watched Friday probably wouldn't have believed the Saturday result. Somebody that came in Saturday that hadn't seen Friday would say, well, how did that happen? But what was your assessment there from one game to the next to start the season against the Tri-City?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to understand, and it's the Western Hockey League. I think, you know, any team, any night can beat you, whether you're, you know, supposedly the top team in the league and a bottom team in the league. It's for a reason a lot of these kids are here. They're good players for sure. So, you know, from the outside, kind of just getting in, understanding what the team's like and players, yeah, we definitely have a young group that, you know, was excited Friday night and came out. And, you know, on the flip side, I've been a player and driven up here and, you know, had to play. It's a tough place to play for sure with the travel and, you know, come in trying to build your own energy. And it's tough for sure. And I thought our group responded well on the Friday night, just getting up and making our chances count. You know, our goalie was great Friday night. And then Saturday, yeah, I think just like Mark said, we got a little bit cocky and thought, you know, we were going to roll them again. And that's not the case. And that's all, you know, learning how to win. And you got a young group here that wants to win for sure. And now it's, you know, defense first mentality and making sure that, you know, at the end of the day, we got to keep the puck out of the net before we put it in the net too. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff on this week's practice plan that we got to tighten up defensively. And it's just going back to basics and, you know, understanding with the young group that you got to teach the X and O's and, you know, lots of video and tighten stuff up. But the good thing was, you know, we had lots of chances. We outchanced them almost 2-1 on the weekend. They got more goals than us with 9. But at the same time, it's, you know, they're fixable, you know, mistakes. It's, you know, position play. There's stuff that you can teach. It's not just effort. I think the effort was there for sure both nights. But now it's just being more dedicated on the defensive side of the game. And same time, it's nice to get, you know, a few other bodies back from NHL camps that'll help us out and, you know, add some veteran presence too in the lineup. So, you know, honestly, both games I thought were all right. Even, you know, Saturday night, it's a one goal game pretty much until that third. And, you know, just a young group that's thinking goals, goals, goals. Well, you know, just trying to teach them and get it in their heads that if we play the right way and we stick to a game plan, and play defense first and make the most of our opportunities, it'll come. You know, we don't want to just be river hockey and run and gun. And, you know, but again, it's all with a young group and learning how to win. And, I don't think for, you know, any second, you know, we're looking at this weekend as we're going to roll a team too. So it's been nice this week to, you know, work on the defensive side of the game and, you know, excited to see what Kelowna brings for us. But, you know, you go through the ups and downs all year. And at the same time, it was game two. It's not like, you know, we're going through this and, you know, game 46. It's game two and we'll tighten some stuff up. And, you know, it's great at this level with all the video and technology that we have to show kids and teach them what, you know, needs to be done to help them succeed on the ice.
Now, you use learning how to win. We hear that from coaches all the time. Now, there's one aspect about learning how to win that's a little bit different in Prince George, and I'll explain that, in that you have to learn how to win doubleheaders back-to-back. And, you know, historically, the team that loses Friday you know, comes back Saturday, and if they don't win, they get a point, or it's a lot better effort, and vice versa. Winning doubleheaders against the same opponent on Friday and Saturday is, I think, a little bit more difficult than it sounds, and that's why it doesn't happen as often as we get splits. And I'm talking about a longer period of time. Is that something you've thought of?
Not totally, honestly. It's, you know, a game's a game, whether it's a doubleheader against the same team or somebody different. For sure, you're playing the same group, and you get to, you know, for both sides, you get to see what they did the night before and get to go right at them again, you know, the next night. But, yeah, I think it doesn't matter if we're going down to Kamloops for a doubleheader. It's, you know, you're always trying to get a split, just like you kind of playoff mentality. And like I said, I've been on the other side of it coming up here with Kelowna quite often, and you're always trying to get a split. So it's, yeah, it's tough for sure to get that win, but at the same time, I don't think you can change your mindset other than, you know, whether it's Friday night or Saturday night, this is our game plan, this is what we're going to do, and, you know, we got to execute. It's up to us to make sure they're prepared and ready to go and, you know, give them every opportunity to win both nights. And you're not going to win every game at home, and especially on a doubleheader or two and twos, or, you know, if you got travel in there as well, if you play a Wednesday, you're back here Thursday or something like that. You know, there's a lot that comes into play with it. But, you're not going to win them all for sure, but if you can at least get the effort there and show up every night and give yourself a chance to win, I think as a coach, that's all you can ask for.
Since you've been involved in Junior B and you've been out of the WHL for a while, what do you know about the WHL right now, other than referring back to when you played in the league?
I know there's a name of a Connor Bedard in the league for sure. So, there's high-end talent and, just trying to think the last few weeks of what the league's like and what it was like when I played before. There's obviously a lot of high-end picks, you know, in the league, and especially in this division, the BC Division 2. And, I know the league's gotten a lot more skilled from when I played. But in regards to teams or coaches, what I know about the league right now, honestly, I don't know too much. You know, I see the stuff on Twitter and Facebook that I read over the years, and I still, you know, follow the league quite a bit. But it's one thing to sit there on social media and follow it, and it's one thing to be a part of it. So, I don't know too much about the league or what it's like now. But again, just happy to be here and, you know, going to take every up and down as it comes and learn what I can.
Yeah, Connor Bedard with Regina Pats will be in Prince George December the 2nd. And we know that's going to be a game that is going to be sort of marked down to get that kind of a talent into the PG for the once per year. And, you know, Riley Height went number 2 in that year. And, that's a real strong age group, as we saw with Canada dominating the under 18. And saw one of the Tri-City defensemen there that played very well also, that, you know, Drazenovic. So that was a really high, strong year. There's, you know, some years are that way, and that's one that certainly sticks out.
Yeah, it's obviously new about Riley coming up here and Zeems too. As you look at the team, you look at kind of who your guys right away, and they're both special players for sure. And it's, you know, you talk about Connor doing special things and, just in practice and just in these two games, obviously Zeems got a few goals and Heider's got, you know, one, I think they're on the Saturday, but they're both special players for sure. And it's nice to, you know, people talk about Bedard. And, there's lots of, like you said, lots of talent at that age group in that draft. That's, you know, just astonishing and, pretty fun players to watch for sure.
Now, Height and Zeemer obviously going to get a lot of attention. You know, they could potentially be first-round picks, probably not lower than second. Sort of depends on how this season works out. But they are high-end players. Now, you're coming in as a coach. You have to make sure that you're catering to, the role players and those that don't get the power play time and maybe have to do some of the dirty work and all of those kinds of things to make sure that they feel that they are just as part of things. Do you feel as a coach that's something that you have to be invested in, or do you think that's just sort of a given?
Yeah, I think you got to be there, you know, no matter what for them. But that's not just those guys. I think that's your whole group for sure. But if we're talking about, you know, any draft eligible player, yeah, obviously it helps out your team, your program to get guys drafted, and especially, you know, if capable to get these two guys in the first round. I'm invested to do whatever I can to help them out. And, you know, they're both exceptional players, and they put the work in themselves too, which is nice to see. I've, you know, been around the league for quite a while, and, you know, played with first rounders and guys that have gone, you know, in the draft. And, you know, these two kids, they work at it. Some kids got natural talent and they don't really work too hard at their game, but, you know, they're not satisfied with, you know, the outcome on the weekend. It's nice to see them back at practice and, you know, even at 17 years old, pushing everybody and, you know, demanding lots out of the group. So, yeah, I'm 100% invested, obviously, in, you know, those two players or any draft eligible player, but the way I coach, it doesn't matter if, you know, you're the top kid or the weakest kid on your group. I, you know, I'm here for the team and do whatever I can to help out each individual player.
There are still a lot of guys your age, 28, still playing. Not necessarily, you know, the highest of calibers, but still playing in semi-pro or pro. You're into the coaching game at a young age, but you were a player. And I've asked other guys this. Can coaching really replace the thrill of playing?
Yeah, I don't think it ever will fully, but, you know, there's nothing cooler than scoring a goal with 10 or 15,000 fans in a building or something like that. But at the same time, it's fun. It's, you know, the reason I really got into coaching was I didn't know kind of what I was going to do back home that winter in Penticton. And it was kind of an easy transition. It's, you know, you're still around the guys and still a part of the game. Still get a little bit of exercise, and really that's all I've known is hockey. It's, you know, I've worked my family business. I've had summer jobs, but at the end of the day, you know, hockey is, you know, it doesn't really feel like work as much as it is work, and it's long, long days, but it's, you're around your guys and your buddies. You're, you know, doing what you love to do. So it doesn't fully, you know, take that feeling away of playing for sure. You know, there's times I think I could probably get out there and still play, and one up and down up the ice, I figured out really quick that I probably can't, but no, it's fun. It's a blast. And, you know, there's 100% no other job that I'd rather be doing right now than coaching at this level. And yeah, it's not playing, but you know, I'll take it for sure any day of the week.
So clearly it is the second best job in hockey then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So as we, you know, look ahead for you, you know, are you looking at the natural progression next to become an associate coach, not necessarily with PGA, but whoever, and then a head coach, and then just get as high as you can as you look when you get into your 30s and 40s? Is that where your mindset is, or is it just do what you can right now with the PGA Cougars?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just being here and being invested in PGA, you know, on and off the ice with the program, the city, the community, and making the most out of my time. But yeah, in the back of my mind, I think for sure at my age, I definitely see, you know, there's a chance to move up if, you know, I put the time and effort in, and, you know, I'm willing to do that for sure. So, yeah, like I said, I want to be invested here and make the most of this opportunity. And it's been 2 weeks, and, you know, I can't predict the future by any means. And, you know, at the end of the day, I tell all my players, it's control what you control, and that's your attitude and your work ethic, number one. And, it's nice that I have, you know, two guys to learn under that do all the right things. And, you know, Mark's been around for a long time, and Josh is a very good student of the game. And, you know, watching both their work ethics, you know, blows me away that, you know, Mark's almost twice my age, and Josh has got a few years on me too. And, you know, they work way harder than I do. And it's cool to get in here to see, you know, what it takes to get to that level. Obviously, you know, Josh has been a head coach before, you know, in the CHL. Mark's been at the NHL level as a coach too, and just seeing what it takes. So I think for sure at the end of the day, I want to move on, whether that's 5 years from now, 10 or 20, whatever it is. But at the same time, I'm real happy to be here, and I'm invested for sure in the Cougar program, and do whatever I can, and we'll see what happens down the road.
Let's take Mark and Josh out of the equation. Is there a coach that you have played for that you thought was the best coach, and maybe you've taken something from? Is there somebody, or maybe there's two individuals, that really made an impact on you as a player and or person?
Yeah, I mean, right away, I think obviously your family and your dad kind of putting you in skates and getting you to love the game for sure. Dad was a coach of mine until Pee Wee hockey, and, you know, we definitely butt heads at times about the game, but at the same time, you know, love him, respect him, you know, for everything that he's done for me and to get me to this level. But John DePork's a massive supporter of mine, and I'm a big fan of him. John, I ended up playing for growing up all minor hockey, and it's kind of funny. That's who I coached under in Summerland. So was a player of his. John's a longtime pro down in the old Central Leagues and the East Coast Leagues, and been around for a long time. He was drafted by Pittsburgh, and then got a chance to actually coach under him. And then when I took over in his studios, I stole him, and he was my assistant coach. So, you know, he's one guy for sure that, you know, I'm 100% confident that I would never have gotten this opportunity if it wasn't for John as well to get me the coaching and help me, you know, off ice and keep me straight and, you know, and teach me everything there is to know about coaching. And he coached pro for a long time too. So, yeah, those two guys for sure are special to me and close to my heart. And you know, at the same time, I want to do whatever I can to make them proud and know that their efforts weren't just, you know, given away. And I'll take the most of it and run with it.
All right, I know it's practice time coming up, and I appreciate it. And it'll be interesting. We'll be having you on CAT scans later in the season. It'll be interesting to get a perspective of your views then compared to just 2 weeks on the job.
Yeah, for sure. I know, and I appreciate you having me on today. And, yeah, I look forward to definitely being back on whenever you guys want. I'd love to chat. And like I said, I know, thanks for having me for sure, and we will chat later for sure.
You bet. Carter Rigby is an assistant coach with the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CAT scan. Brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.